listener production.
Something feels a bit off. You've got pain somewhere you don't usually have pain. You feel generally under the weather. You can't think straight. You don't know quite what's wrong, but you know you won't be going into work that day.
Now we're finding that even for one day off, some workplaces are insisting on a certificate.
Your usual GP, if you have one, is fully booked. So you start Googling, and there's your solution. Website after website offering medical certificates fast for 15 or 20 bucks. You just put in your details, tick a few boxes, no need to speak to anyone or even leave your bed. The certificate turns up in your inbox a few minutes later. It's incredibly convenient, it's time-saving, it's money-saving, but is it safe?
When you're using services like this, yes, there's convenience, but there's also an obligation to provide a service that is safe. And after what you've revealed, that would cause me great concern.
I think it's very disturbing.
Quite frankly, I think that's alarming, very concerning, and that's certainly not good medical practice, and it's not safe for the public if doctors are behaving in that way.
As a solicitor working in medical negligence, my immediate thought would be, I suspect we have a case here.
What's the worst case scenario?
Death. Is that simple?
I'm Bension Siebert, and today the briefing team brings you part one of our investigation into Australia's growing online medical certificates industry and the potential risks to the public that the government, medical regulators, and doctors groups are only now beginning to realise. Most of us like to think we're a pretty good judge of our own health, but medical emergencies can sometimes hide behind what feels like mild illness, and those of us without medical training are simply not well equipped to tell the difference. For example, imagine you have numbness in one leg. Maybe you sat on it wrong. But there's this horrible, time-sensitive condition called acute limb ischemia that sometimes requires leg amputation, and even then it kills 15 to 20% of people who get it. That can show up as numbness in one leg. Have you had a headache this week? Most of the time, a headache means pretty much nothing. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you didn't drink enough water. Rarely, a sudden headache can be a sign there's a bleed in your brain. We all get abdominal pain at some point in our lives, but discerning between the kind of bellyache you might get from eating a dodgy curry and, say, pancreatitis or an ectopic pregnancy is not something most people are trained to figure out themselves, and getting it wrong could be life-threatening. Now, if you're listening to this and starting to feel panicked because I've scared the shit out of you, that's not what I'm trying to do here. Generally healthy people are usually fine, and minor illness is usually just that. The point I'm trying to make is that it's not your job to have perfect knowledge of every ambiguous medical symptom you might experience, or to be a perfect judge of your own health. That's where GPs, general practitioners, are supposed to come in.
I got very sick on a Wednesday night, and on the Friday morning I said to my daughter, I really need to see a GP urgently. Can you drive me? I just don't feel well enough.
Dr. Helen Kelleher is an adjunct professor in health science at Monash University, and she's an expert in health literacy. That means she's an expert in how people access, understand, and use information about their health. If anyone should be a pretty good judge of their own health, it's Helen.
My own GP wasn't there that day. I saw a different GP and he looked at me and said, oh, I think you've got the flu. Take the antivirals, gave me a script and waved the stethoscope round, didn't really listen to my lungs and sent me home. So Saturday came and went. We were supposed to go to the Phil Collins concert, actually. I couldn't go. My daughter came in on Sunday morning and took one look at me and said, Mum, we're going to the ED now. And I was already in sepsis. And I bloody near died, actually. I was so ill. 3.5 days,
I was lucky to live. I was lucky actually not to be put on life support. They had it lined up and hour by hour they were checking me. I have never been so sick.
Luckily, Helen survived sepsis and she was discharged 2 weeks later. Looking back, she wonders if she could have avoided her near-death experience had the GP picked up that she had pneumonia.
If he'd listened to my lungs properly, I wouldn't have gone into sepsis. I got a letter of apology and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a nurse and a professor in public health and I didn't tell the difference between pneumonia and flu. And I expected the GP to do that, but he didn't. It didn't occur to me I had pneumonia. So how would anybody know?
Helen's story shows that even under close to perfect circumstances, with a highly qualified health professional assessing another highly qualified health professional, life-threatening emergencies can sometimes hide behind what looks like minor illness.
You can be a highly educated person in a field that has nothing to do with health, and you really struggle to understand the health information that you're being provided if it's not in plain English.
How would you characterise the capacity of most Australians to self-assess symptoms?
Low. I think it's low. You know, maybe 10 or 15% of the population can assess their own symptoms accurately. Most people would think they're more health literate than they actually are. And I think quite a high proportion of the population would be in that boat.
Including?
Including professors of public health who get pneumonia.
So we all need a high-quality GP. General practitioners are usually the first or primary line of defence for your health. That's why what they do is called primary care. A big part of their job is to prevent major illness before it gets bad enough to land you in hospital, and occasionally to diagnose life-threatening or time-sensitive medical conditions that might look on the face of them to be minor. But now is not a great time to try and book a GP.
It can be hard enough finding a doctor, and tonight there are concerns about a looming workforce shortage, with a third of GPs planning to retire in the next 5 years.
Now there's just one full-time GP for almost 6,000 patients, and if they can't recruit any more doctors, they'll have to close.
The total number of GPs in Australia has continued to grow so far, but many older GPs and those utterly burnt out from the COVID pandemic years have been retiring and leaving the profession. The Australian Medical Association estimates that we'll face a shortage of almost 10,000 GPs by the end of this decade.
Many practices have closed down, partly because they can't get doctors in. The doctors that are in are burning out.
Rural Australia is facing a medical crisis as country towns struggle to attract and retain doctors.
Official data shows that in 2020, 17% of Australians waited what they felt to be unacceptably long for a GP appointment. A year later, that had grown to 23%. By 2022, 30%. At the same time, we've got a growing and ageing population with more complicated health conditions and each patient needing more and longer visits to their GP on average.
Imagine needing to see a doctor and being told the wait time is actually 5 weeks. It's the shocking reality for many Aussies trying to get an appointment at their local bulk billing practice.
The government has tried to do something about this. Last year, it tripled the Medicare benefit for GP consults with concession card holders and kids. But still, fewer and fewer GP clinics, less than a quarter of them now, are bulk billing standard consults for adults without concession cards.
Last financial year, more than 1.2 million people didn't go to the GP when they otherwise would have because of the cost. And people aged between 25 and 34 were among the most likely to avoid or delay care.
And while going to the GP feels increasingly difficult and expensive, a sleeper issue has been bubbling away for years.
All right, we're living in a time where almost everything is just a click away, so why not a doctor? Well, an Aussie company is now offering almost instant medical certificates online for a small fee.
As early as 2015, a crop of online medical businesses began to enter the Australian market, keen to offer patients faster, cheaper primary healthcare. competing directly with traditional doctors' clinics on everything from telehealth consultations to medical certificates and even prescription medication. Enter Dr. Asher Freilich, an investment banker who retrained as a doctor. He co-founded a business called Instant Scripts in 2018, a site on which you can book in a consultation with a doctor over the phone or a video call, what most people would refer to as a telehealth appointment. Alongside that service, however, there's another option on the site to request a script for prescription medication. Here he is explaining the system on 7 News last year.
A patient can go through a carefully curated set of questions. It's reviewed by one of our GPs, and it's either approved or rejected. But that's only for a very limited supply of a routine medication. It's a business that was formed in the wake of a dire primary healthcare crisis in Australia. We acknowledge that face-to-face care will always be the gold standard, but we have to be sanguine and circumspect about the state of the Australian healthcare system at the moment.
Soon, Instant Scripts was also offering medical certificates for a day off work on the basis of a simple online form. Last year, one of Australia's mega companies, Wesfarmers, bought Instant Scripts for $135 million. If you think you might have heard of Wesfarmers but don't know exactly who they are, you've almost certainly spent money in their stores. If you've ever been to Bunnings for some indoor plants, Officeworks for stationery, Kmart for a cheap kettle, Target for cheap clothes, Wesfarmers owns all of these businesses. And now it owns Instant Scripts, which has become one giant player in a whole ecosystem of businesses offering online medical certificates in Australia using a simple online form to assess patients' symptoms. But a bit like vaping, the online medical certificate industry has snuck up on Australian governments and regulators during COVID. I wanted to know if the people meant to keep us safe have kept up. Over the past several months, I roped in some of my colleagues and we executed a kind of sting operation, going undercover online to test these services ourselves. What we found has rocked Australia's medical establishment, and it raises serious questions about the future of healthcare in this country. This afternoon on The Briefing, we take you inside that investigation. Check your feed from 3 p.m. to listen in to part two. I'm Bension Siebert. Catch you then.
Listener.